We're two paragraphs from the end of the first, whatever you want to call it, ICE, MS. Now, I just want to point out that I had a problem yesterday in this meet of MS, and that is, I ran into a Gemara in Daf Yomi, but the truth is, these Gemaras exist sprinkled through Shas. And an Amira did something, and his Talmud asked him, are you doing it for this reason? And he said, yes. And then the Amira says, I saw that that wasn't really his reason. His reason was a totally different reason, but he didn't want to paskin that way. So he told me yes on the wrong reason. Now, it wasn't that he wouldn't have done it for that reason, but it was not the reason he did it. Meaning, I think it was talking about Rav Ashi, he put on tefillin at night. Talmud asked them, are you doing it to guard them, which is mutter according to everybody, because it's a machlokes, you're allowed to put it on. So he said yes. And then Ravina said, but I really saw that he held it was mutter, but he didn't want to tell me. So does that go into what heter of saying the untruth is the non-truth? Is that kind of case? Meaning the Gemara says a heter, that if somebody asks you, do you know Masechtas Baba Kama, you're allowed to say no, even though you know it. That's one of the three things that Gemara says you're allowed to lie about. Say the untruth, we don't call it a lie. You're allowed to say the non-truth. But the Gemara doesn't say that if somebody asks you something, you don't want to tell them the reason of why you did it, because you don't want to paskin that way publicly. So you can agree to a reason. The Gemara doesn't say he made it up, but the Gemara says he agreed to a reason that wasn't true. He said yes. Are you doing it because you want to guard the tefillin? Yes, but that wasn't the reason he did it. Now, he would have got it to guide the tefillin, but that wasn't the story. So, what heter of, Chas v'Shalom, Rav Ashi is not a liar. He did not lie. So, what heter is there for that? Does that go into Masechta? I just was curious. I just don't know clearly. I didn't see anybody talk about it. I'm sure they might talk about it. I shouldn't say that. They're very possible they talk about it in a different place. In Masechta's Menachos, I didn't see anybody talk about it. Yes.
That any time you see any of the people in the Gemara giving a reason to a Goyah as to why they're doing something, it's always a push-off.
It's one thing to say to a guy where you have not to teach him Torah. So you give him a push-off because you're not allowed to teach him Torah. But that's because you don't want to do the issur of teaching him Torah. But that's different than by a yid where you have a mitzvah to teach him Torah.
So we know already that there are times when it's. Now, the question is what I asked last week or before that, which is in the city where nobody died, was permitted to tell any of those shades the truth?
Mashma not, but I don't know.
I would assume not also.
I don't know. I'll give back to somebody who's accustomed to say lies is a disgusting person, is a low person. He probably has a better word than me.
Disgraceful.
Disgraceful. You don't trust him for anything. Can't even mislead a guy. Any word of persuading somebody and misleading him is usher. El esfas emes, one must say the truth. Afilu la'agyagzim besipur, to exaggerate. Ukai gavna, usher. Ma'a shamar v'gemar dim b'tayra loshan havai. I, the Torah, sometimes speaks in non-clear way, in an exaggerating way. That means, ha'inu b'makam shemuvan shakavana l'guzma. That's when you can understand that the Torah is trying to exaggerate. K'mar shemevi sham, me'arim g'daylus v'b'tsuras b'ashamayim. Cities that are great and fortified up to the sky. Everybody understands that Torah didn't mean they're fortified to the sky. They showed me the Sefer HaMaspik, the Rabban Ben Arambam, that says that shot. That you're allowed to exaggerate when everybody understands it's an exaggeration. So when somebody asks you, is there a nice crowd there? You can say there were 1,500 people. And people believe you there are 1,500 people. There might only be 700 people. And that's not an exaggeration. That's a lie. That's Gneva's Das. It's socially lying. Who cares? But it's socially lying. However, if you say there was a big crowd, you would say it was 1,000,000 people. Nobody, everybody knows there were 1,000,000 people. The difference is, you're saying it as a lesson as a big crowd. Okay, so everybody knows you're exaggerating. That's mutter. That's not called a lie. That's impressing the fact that there was a huge crowd. That's what Rabban Ben Arambam says Chaim Kinevsky said, and then they said they showed him in Rambam and Rambam. Aval Rambam is Sasheni Yachshav Shiza Emes Aser. But to mislead that the person thinks it's true, that is Aser. Okay, I put on the recording because there was nobody on at 55, so I had to put on the recording, yes.
Was the was Kinevsky talking about people in the Gemara?
The Gemara said that you're allowed to have a different type of Lashon Havai. It's quoting a Gemara that says the Torah speaks Lashon Havai. Not exact. Exaggeration.
The Gra, it's what came up. The Gra in Neves Shlema says that every single thing in the Gemara is literally true.
Okay, again, I can only tell you that Rashi says many times that the Gemara says 300 this, 300 that, Lush and Guzma. That's what Rashi says. So I'm not going to argue on Gra's, I don't do that, but I don't argue on Rashi's either, therefore I'll just say that Rashi says it's a Guzma.
The Gra has been known to argue on Rashi.
That's not, again.
No, I'm just...
Chaim Kinevsky has a Rashi that supports him, I don't need anymore.
I'm very comfortable with Maharal.
Okay,
I did not know the
Rambam. Okay. Dr. Gemara Weitzer. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the top of Yud Beis and Yud Beis. Tana Rabbanan. Now, here comes the shock of the week. And again, I say the shock of the week because it's something we weren't prepared for at all. We don't paskin that way, but it's a Gemara, it's a Bright, it's a Tana. Tana Rabbanan. Isha Shein Lo Vest. A woman who has no vest. Asur L'Shamish. She can't live with her husband. Rachazal do not allow a person to be married to a woman that doesn't have a vest kavua. That is Reb Meir's opinion. That means if a woman does not have a standard vest, she is not allowed to be married to anybody. Period. End of story. Ve'ilo like suba, and when he divorces her, he doesn't have to pay her a suba. Ve'loy Paris, he doesn't have to machlokes restrain him, but I think Rashi learned. There's noise out there in phone land. Ve'loy Paris, and he does not have to pay her back the fruit he ate off her land, because as a married man, he was eating from her nixe malug, that he was allowed to get the fruit. And now she can't stay married to him because she has no vest. So he has to get rid of her, and it's not his fault, it's her fault, so therefore she doesn't get a ksuba. Again, when I say her fault, I don't mean she chose to be that way, but it's in her body that it happened, and therefore he doesn't have to give her a ksuba, he doesn't have to pay for the fruit. Veloy mezainis doesn't have to pay her bills for food that she went and borrowed money. Bezen promised her food, right? He went out of town. Bezen promised food. He doesn't have to pay those bills. Beloy blois and the worn-out clothing that she brought in into the ksuba that he's allowed to wear. Well, this one, he doesn't have to return to her. And he divorces her. And he can never take her back, even if she develops a vest kavua. And the Gemara will explain that the reason for that is because we don't want a guy coming when he hears that his ex-wife developed a vest kavua and she meanwhile remarried and had children. And he comes back and says, the get I gave was wrong. I gave it because you didn't have a vest kavua. Now we know you have a vest kavua. It was a mistaken get. And therefore, you're my wife and all your kids from the second husband are illegitimate. So therefore, in order to prevent that, not that we would believe him, but in order to prevent whether we would believe him or not, but let's say we won't believe him, but in order to prevent that, we tell him, listen, you're divorcing her, and you can never take her back. Be aware of that. There is a machlokes if she gets postmenopausal. Is that included in the word ilamis? Because once she's postmenopausal, there's no reason not to be married to her. And at that point, she won't be by chilas, because every woman becomes postmenopausal if she lives that long. So therefore, there's some that say Ilamas means till the age of postmenopausal, and other Rishonim say Ilamas means, other Achrayim I should say, Ilamas means forever, forever, forever. Right? Diamonds are forever. Right? Yes?
Why does this lady treat
her
like a soita?
What?
She's
not treated like a soita. Here's a man that invests in marrying a woman, and she's not a marriageable woman.
I get it. She is a
I knew this would happen. That's why I said prepare for the shock of the week. Now, let me explain again. I had a different problem, but it's the same. It boils down to the same thing. Again, I'll try to explain it to the best of my ability. A woman, Rachmana Litzlan, becomes paralyzed, right? And therefore is now put in the hospital in a place where somebody will care for her for the rest of her life, right? I mean, the question everybody would ask is, why does she deserve this? Why is she now in a situation that, quote-unquote, again, please don't throw me out for being an apikairis yet, but why is she in this position? It's not fair. It's totally not fair to her. She's in a position, it's not fair. She's a regular, healthy woman one day, and the next day, Rachmana Litzlan, she's gone for life. No healing, paraplegic, whatever they call it, right? Paraplegic, she's stuck. They put her in a home. They take care of her for as long as she can live. Rachmana Litzlan, right? Is it her fault? No. But reality is reality. Unfortunately, right, when you have a muna, you say it's the Rabbi Nishleilim. And if Chas V'Shalom, somebody doesn't have a muna, he says it's coincidence. Well, it's so stupid, but that's not the point, right? It's the Rabbi Nishleilim. He made her that way. And the consequences of being a paraplegic, Rachmana Litzlan, and I don't even want to mention the word, right, is that she will now not be able to live a normal life. This is it. So adjust psychologically, so have therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists, everything they'll do to help her, and the Rabbi Nishleilim should give her a foolish life. But that's not the point. The point is, it's not her fault, and yet we say this is what happened. A woman that the Rabbi Nishleilim does not give a best kavua, according to her mayor, becomes impossible to live with. Is it her fault? No. Is she like a shaita that did something egregious? No. She is a woman that never became a paraplegic in this area. And for marriage purposes, she became paraplegic. Is it her fault? No. No woman wants to become paraplegic, Rachmana Litzlan. And in those days, according to a mayor, every woman had a vest kavua, or overwhelming majority of women had a vest kavua, not like today. And therefore, she became a paraplegic in periods. So these are the consequences of having this thing. Now, why did the Rabbi Hashem give it to her? Why did he treat her different than 95%, that I just made that up, like most overwhelming majority of statistics are made up, and I made that up also now, right? So therefore, why did the Rabbi Hashem give that? He gave it to her because that's what he gave her. That's the portion that he handed out to her. But there are consequences. Her husband can't stay married to her. His poor man has an obligation to his wife, who now is not a wife anymore, for all practical purposes.
Right.
Because he can't live with her. This mayor doesn't want to rely on that. He says that every woman that doesn't have a bet shkubua, we are afraid, will bleed during Tashmish. That's what he's afraid of. We don't paskin that way. I want to stress, and I said this will be the shock of the week. I knew when I prayed this that everybody would say, you know, I just hear the voice of Abi Spiro Zechayna Rebecha, how he would ask his Abi question. Rabbi, how do you do this to this poor woman? Isn't she punished enough? Isn't she in a terrible shape already? And now you're throwing her out without financial support and without everything. It's like, where is this coming from? You know, I expected this question. I hear his voice ringing in my ears. I hear this. I hear the question. I had the question. But the answer is, Rabbi, this woman became a paraplegic. How can you do this to her? Terry says, I didn't do it to her, and her husband's not doing it to her. The Rabbi Nishleilim is doing it to her. Why? I don't know. But that's what happened.
No, some of them are doing it to her. She's being punished.
She's not being punished.
A regular divorce lady does not get this.
Because a divorced lady is a marriageable woman, meaning can have a relationship. Marriage 101 is that a husband can be able to have a relationship with his wife. If he can't have a relationship with his wife, it's lacking the basic concept of marriage. So what's he supposed to do? Now he has a bill? A bill because she became a paraplegic, so now it's his bill? I mean, he became a non-ability to stay married in a regular way.
I mean, that's just normal.
It's normal that you don't give her, she gets all these things.
What do you mean normal? It's not normal for her to be a woman that doesn't have a vest. That's also not normal. I'm not, it's not a punishment, it's a consequence. Is paraplegic a punishment from the Rebbeinu Shlom? Yes. This is a punishment from the Rebbeinu Shlom. He's not punishing her. Chazal are not punishing her. They're dealing with the consequence that a woman can't say marry to her husband. So what in the world do you want this husband to do? It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. And you're putting a bill on him now to have to pay a woman that can't, that physically became impossible to live with.
It's his punishment.
That's the kasha that bothered me. Because the Gemara in Subas, the Beza Medalov, says there's a concept of Nistachvas Tadehu. That if something happens to her, at a certain point, we say it's his field that got ruined. He has to suffer the consequences. Why over here don't you say Nistachvas Tadehu? That was the kasha that bothered me. I thought I had a similar kasha, but I came from a different angle. That the Gemara says over there that a woman that was supposed to get married on Wednesday and the husband didn't marry her, he has to pay the bills anyway of her mezainis. And the Gemara says if she became a nida, he still has to pay the bills. Why? Because they say, listen, she belongs to you. You did kedushin already. It's your field that got messed up. Meaning, it's your item that got hurt. It's like when a guy's car crashes, you can't say it's the car's fault. We say the owner's car got messed up. It's your wife. Now, that's the halakha over there. Here, I didn't see anybody mention that we should say to him, listen, it's your wife that got messed up. You deal with the consequences. You can't stay married to her. But since it's your field that went wrong, it's your car that totaled, this is your wife that got totaled for being a wife. We don't say it. I can offer explanations, but I'm not sure, and I want to clarify that I'm not sure. The way I see it is that those things are all temporary. So we say, it's your item that became temporary, unusable, you got to suffer the consequences. But over here, it's a permanent. And in the permanent, we don't blame him. We don't say it's his that became ruined. Because it became ruined permanently, obviously she's not his. That's how Chazal view it. But it's not he's punishing her. It's a consequence. Why is it different than paraplegic that's put in a home?
So regularly, doesn't get the divorce, she doesn't lose all these. Only a
because she's not marriageable. Again, a guy divorces his wife. There was nothing wrong with her in marriage, so why shouldn't he pay a tzuba?
Right.
Here, she's moral. She can't be married to her. We don't let him stay with her. We're forcing her out of the house. So how can you blame him? You want him to pay. No, I'm not. We're not blaming her. We're saying he can't pay. You can't force him to pay for something he's not responsible for.
That's not a, it's no punishment.
It's Chazal punishing her, not him.
Right.
Chazal is saying she's not Roy for a tzuba. It's like the Chazal putting her in a home.
He's saying it's Chazal punishing him, not her punishment.
No. Everything is Rabbi Nishlelem. All Bairi Ilam. I have to remember that. It's all Bairi Ilam. Nothing happens without Bairi Ilam. I say that every day. I believe it. Now that I believe that, let's go back. The Rebbeinu Shlom made her this way. He made her be a woman that can't stay in the house with her husband. He took her out of the house. So who has to pay the tzuba? He, him? Why? The Rebbeinu took him away from her. Took her away from him. Why should he have to pay? The answer is, let Bezim pay. Let him make a collection for her. Okay, so we'll call Matan Beseser, and we'll say we have this poor woman, and we have to make a collection for her. But Chazal can't make him pay. They took her away, and they're making him pay because they took her away.
How did Rabbi Teich Beloiz?
Rashi says, I tried to talk Rashi, that if she brought him begadim as Nichsei Chaim Barzel, he can use it till it wears out. And even if some of it's still left, he doesn't have to give it back to her. That's what I'm just reading Rashi. I mean, I wasn't reading Rashi. I was speaking out Rashi.
Rabbi?
Yeah, can somebody wait on the phone? Dr. Schwab has been waiting very patiently. Yes. He's a doctor. He has patience. Yes. Sometimes.
No, he retired.
Yes.
Three things. Number one, I'm extremely pleased to hear you say that he owns her.
No, he doesn't own her the way that you want her to be owned. No, she's not owned that way. Next.
But I was happy to hear you.
I'm glad you have it, but it does make a difference. He owns the Kingdom. This is not his possession like his car. Next.
I have, Greg, I'm aware, and actually at the end of our conversation,
okay, let's go, move on. Yes.
I conceded to you. Number two, I have great concerns about yours, use the term consequences. This is not a consequence. This is simply something which entails a certain thing. And I don't understand why people are so surprised right now, because this is exactly the same story that you told earlier on, Anita, where there was a woman who never had a period because she had no uterus. And when Moshe Poskin, he said that, really, I should say she doesn't even get a ketubah, but people will talk.
Totally different. There was a mekach tos. When he married her, it was a mistake. Here she was a married woman for 10 years. She lived a normal life, and now she developed that she has no vest.
Insofar as this is not her fault, she did not have a uterus.
Again, it was a metric toss. If I sell you something, and it's not the item's fault that it's broken, but I still misled you. Here there was no misleading. She was a perfect wife for 10 years. She cooked the best suppers and made a mesudas for Shchedish and did everything right. Now, 10 years later, her body faltered and stopped having a veskavua. That's not a mekach tos. That's like saying the guy marries a woman and finds out she's a balas mum, it's a mekach tos. If she became a balas mum 10 years later, it's not a mekach tos. When you marry somebody and they're in perfect shape and something happens to them, it's not a mekach tos.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
And the other is, anyone who's practiced medicine for more than about 5 or 10 minutes has encountered this. I mean, even someone who smokes 3 packs a day does not intend to get lung cancer.
Okay, good.
There's more in Brooks about going into a ruin of a house, you're putting yourself at risk. But nobody intends, and there are plenty of things that you see on a
free. Again, I don't think there's any shyness to this. The Gemara says that something happened naturally to her. Nobody did anything. She didn't do a thing to cause it.
That's why I don't like the term. That's why I do not like the term consequence.
Okay, I just said ksuba is a consequence. I didn't say she's thing is a consequence. The fact that she doesn't get a ksuba is Chazal's way of treating her, which I said the word consequence, call it any word you want, but that's what it said. Yes?
If a woman refuses to live with her husband,
he can divorce her without a ksuba. The Gemara has a process in ksubas. The first time he takes off a certain amount from a ksuba, they announce that she's not living with her husband, and therefore they make a big to-do of it, and after a certain period of time that they give it, he can chuck her without a ksuba. A woman has obligations to her husband. A husband has obligations to his wife. The Gemara says if he refuses to live with her, her ksuba goes up in price. And after a while, peasant steps in and says, you know, you can't do this. These are obligations that husbands and wives have to each other. There's a beautiful Rambam. And the Rambam needs my Askama, and all Rambams are beautiful, but this is a beautiful Rambam. And Hilchos Ishus that talks about what a husband's obligation to a wife is and what a wife's obligation to a husband. It's not just physical things that they do. If somebody read this Rambam and kept it, there would never be a Shalom Bayis problem. Never be a Shalom Bayis problem. I mean, I shouldn't say never. It would have to, I mean, if they both kept their deal, it would never be a Shalom Bayis problem. The Rambam speaks out how a husband has to treat a wife and how a wife has to treat a husband. The Rambam. But that we're not learning now that. We're learning now from Chassidus. Yes. That's it. You have a question? No questions.
Rabbi. So just, if you could just repeat something you said before, since all women become postmenopausal, according to the Rabbanim in this brisa, what happens? Do you don't divorce your wife because
the way the Rabbanim made women is that when a person marries his wife, it's self understood that she will become postmenopausal. Here the problem is that she's not postmenopausal. You never know when she's going to.
This is a different cause.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, so does that, I understand we don't hold by it now, but does that imply that, according to this, a woman who was going through, I mean, she's, whatever, make up an age, 48, 52 years old, she's going through natural changes. She could not get married until her periods had totally ceased?
That's a great question. The woman who had a vescapula and is now at the age where she's becoming menopausal. So usually when that happens, it becomes erratic. So what happens at that point? Would he have to divorce her because now he can't live with her?
Could he even marry her to begin with?
Well, he's not married her at that point. He married her 15 years earlier. I mean,
that's not my question.
I hear you, I can repeat it. But I don't know the answer, the real answer. Because this woman is not different than the majority of women. Now, I don't know. Again, I assume that even in those days, Vescavua, as they became close to menopausal age, they got erratic. Unless that's a fact that's not true. I just don't know, because Kumar doesn't discuss it, at least that I remember. Let's catch up with Rashi. And I said when I started that this is going to be the shock of the week that Remeir holds that way. But again, remember that in those days, the overwhelming majority of women had Vescavua. It changed, but that's the overwhelming majority had a Vescavua. I honestly believe that if we paskin like Remeir, the overwhelming majority of women today would have a Vescavua. Because the Rabbeinu Shalom wants people to be married, right? So if we paskin like Remeir that a woman that doesn't have a Vescavua can't be married, then the Rabbeinu Shalom would make sure that women can be married. This is not like, according to Remeir, this would have happened this way and 90% of women today, and I just made up that percentage like all the other ones I make up, right? Wouldn't be able to get married because they have a vest, no, not a vest kavua. Again, right? I don't have a lot of shilas, like Rabbi Hirschfeld has 4,000 more times more shilas than me, but in my dealings, very few ladies really have a vest kavua today. Very few, if any. I know one that I dealt with that had a vest kavua for a long period of time. Sometimes happens, and then 2 months later, it's gone again. But, right, so this vest kavua, I believe that we pass like Remeir, the Messias would be that women would have a Vescavua. Because you can't have a situation where men can't get married and women can't get married. This was the aberration. This was the non-usual thing.
When English counting the vet these days,
yeah,
they get married. They go to college here and they have a calendar.
Right.
He says it's all Vescavua, so what are they counting?
No. Kavua and not Kavua. Everybody has a vest, even today. Kavua means set. She sees exactly the same time, constantly.
Why are they teaching her about the calendar?
Because she has to be chayshis for a vest in the kavua. We haven't gotten to the halachas of what happens to a woman that doesn't have a vest kavua, that can be married according to the next time out. And how many days, when does she kubazikas, when does she have to separate from her husband?
That's what she doesn't have.
Yeah. But the woman with a vest kavua is very simple. The day of her vest, she has to separate from her husband.
We're doing it because
the woman doesn't matter. Again, she would also have a calendar, but her calendar would be simple. If the woman for 4 years in a row saw every hay of the month, her calendar would be very simple. On hay, separate from your husband and do a bdika. End of story. Every month he sees hay.
We're
going
to get to the calendar?
But not now. We're not today. Dr. Ashi. The Loy Peiris, Rashi explains to Mishnah Brisa. Shaychu Bailu Minichsei Luk Shalah, that the husband eats from her Nichsei Malug. Nichsei Malug means she retains ownership of the land and he eats the fruit. The Loy Minichsei Luk Shalah, he meant who is talking about the Lavish Tehi. We don't say since there's no Shalah, it's not his wife. But the head of Loy Peiris, if it was, we say the marriage is annulled, that everything would have to be returned to her. No, she was his wife. He had all marital rights. And now, unfortunately for her, this is what happened. If he went to a faraway country, before he divorced her, Bezim doesn't promise her, doesn't give her Mezainus. Listen, lady, you're not supposed to be married to him. We're not going to authorize you to take food.
He did divorce her?
Well, if he divorced her, then for sure she doesn't get anything. She's still married to her. She took a trip to Israel. She says to Bezim, listen, he has to feed me. I'm his wife. Bezim says, no, you're not. You're on the way out. Because he's going to have to divorce you as soon as he comes back. So we're not giving you anything now. No benefit.
Did he
divorced her, and it went through. Maybe he couldn't divorce her. How could he divorce her?
Why not? She doesn't know best. He has to divorce her. Can't stay with her.
Even if he wants to?
He can't. He can't live with her. Can't have yichud with her. The only reason a man's allowed to have yichud with his wife, even though she's a nida, is because she's going to become not a nida. But if somebody, a woman, is in a position that she will never become mutter to her husband, you're not allowed to be with her. It's not halacha. A woman's husband leaves town, didn't leave her food. What she usually does is goes to bed and says, can you authorize me to get food from his possessions? He's obligated to feed me. He left town. I don't have food. I want to eat. So Bezin gives her an authorization to sell some of his stuff to be able to feed herself.
They don't go into, they ask her to use the Bezin word.
Yeah, that's what happens to a regular woman.
Right. Okay.
This woman comes in and tells Bezin, I don't have a Veskabua. Or Bezin happens to know from the husband before he left town that she doesn't have a Veskabua.
Okay.
He left town. He didn't leave food for her. Now she comes to Bezin and says, can you please authorize it? Bezin says, I'm sorry, we can't.
Before he left.
See, they knew one way or another.
Okay.
Women don't have to wear a sign, I have a Veskabua. No. She brought in clothing in the estimate of a ksuba. In every ksuba, it says the woman brings in this. By the way, in our ksubas, it says it too. The day in the nunya that halos lemi beyavua, bein bekesa, bein bezo, bein bishmushi nir, bishmushi da arsa, kulan kibu alay, whatever it is, besachal kol meyat, kukin kasatar. Today we put a value on what the woman brings in. We don't check to see what she brings in. The ksuba says that the husband accepts it at this and this value. It's in the ksuba even today. If you ever listen to the Aramaic that the rabbi is mumbling over there. She brings in clothing. He can wear it as the body till it wears out. When he divorces her, even though some of it's around, period. That is Reb Meir's opinion. Reb Chanina ben Antigna Seimer, and this is the way we paskin. Meshameshes b'shnei edim. She checks two times, before and after. Hein ifsua, hein tiknua. Meaning, they will mess her up if she ends up seeing blood, and they will be good for her if she checks herself if she didn't see blood. Meaning, if this woman ends up seeing blood, she's got a problem. But we're not going to assume that. We're going to say, check yourself. If you don't, stay married, which is the way we paskin. Except today, we don't paskin by a woman that doesn't do taras. We don't make her do bedika. But a woman, she ain't lovest, even if she even thinks old, she doesn't even have to do bedika. They would mess her up if she sees blood.
You can see that in the first mission before. 100%.
Okay, put it in right away. You're right. You're right. Hey, Zizua. Well, I mean, I'm too. Abachan and Amru, Ayla Labayla. Woe to her husband. Period. Now, we don't know what he meant. What's his comment? Woe to the husband. The Gemara will explain what he meant. Let's now, the Gemara is going to translate the Braisa. So, the bride. Eilok Suba, why? Even like Haji Labia, he can't live with her. This is Rameyer. We're explaining Rameyer. Less Lok Suba. Beloy Paris, Beloy Mazinus, Beloy Blois. Why? Tonight, Suba, Ksuba Dummy. These are all conditions in the Ksuba. She loses her Ksuba, she loses the conditions. Beloy Yazir and Lamas, Shita. What's the Havamina? Obviously, if she has no best Kabua, if you have to get rid of her, he can't take her back. Don't think my late Tzvicha, the Hadra Veskina. She became better. She healed. She developed a Veskabua. Mal de Tamer Lahadra, the guy wants to come back to her. I had a great relationship with her. I want to take her back. She made the best shalom. Kamash Milan, the Zimnan Dazla Mitzvah. She might get married. Umashakna, and be corrected. had I known that she would heal, even if you would have given me $1 million, the husband says, listen, I love my wife so much, I would have never divorced her. Had I known that she would develop a vasta chazal, would let me stay with her, for $1 million, I wouldn't have divorced her. Nimsa, get bought over them, I'm saying. Now, according to him, he's claiming his get is wrong, and the kids are mamzerim. Whether it is or not is a machloikas. Whether we accept the claim or not is a machloikas. But for sure, it's going to spread rumors. Therefore, they told him, no, you cannot take her back ever. No that as you're divorcing her.
Even if she does not get married.
Yeah, even if she doesn't get married. Because once you let him, you open the door.
White blood.
What does that mean? What does Abba Chana mean? Say, oh, woe to the husband. The He disagrees with Rameir. He says, you know, Rameir, you're right. He has to divorce him, but he's got to pay the ksuba. I disagree with you. Woe to the husband. He's got to get rid of his wife, but we make him pay the ksuba. Some say, he's saying to Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas, you know, you're being brave. You're letting this woman take chances. I don't think so. I don't think you should let her have a relationship with her husband. So he's commenting on this machloikas. Either he's arguing with her mayor and saying, I agree with you that he has to divorce her, but I think he's got to pay the ksuba. Or he's telling Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas, you're really taking a chance. You're letting this woman have a relationship. Woe to the husband that's living with her, because he might end up living with an Ida.
Kari, he does.
We don't like people to do Kari's Meshagig either. Let's catch up with Rashi. Zok Rashi, Mishnei Edim Sadinin. Sadinin are sheets, meaning the things she uses to check herself. If Sa'i Chazoi, it messes her up if she sees blood, it's true, Eloi Chazoi. Oilabai, look at the Mephires to come on. I mean, he didn't stop say, whoa, what a sad story. That's not what he was doing. Yi Chazoi, Mezainis, Tanai Ksubahein. Atahe Yosu Bebe, see, Rashi's quoting the Ksuba. You were sitting in my house, it's not an Arksuba. Umistinim Nechasai, you'll be fed from my Nechasim. You know, most Arksuba does not include what Masechta Ksuba puts in the Ksuba. The Sfaradim do, we don't. We have a very abridged version. We don't put in that he's high for this, and high for that, and high for that, doesn't say that. Ublois, Nami Meshumas Ksuba, from the evaluation of Ksuba. Shishamalo Mashi Machnesis. They evaluate what she brought in. And he accepts that he's going to pay her back when the marriage terminates, either with his death or with his divorce. Because if she dies, he inherits her. The Nadunya that she brings in. You should know. Even if she's going to establish a vest kavua, too bad. He can't then say, had I known this, they warned him, and he divorced her anyway. The same Gemara is in Gittin. There's a bad rumor about her, so he wants to divorce her. So we tell him, listen, if you're divorcing her because of the rumor, you can never take her back. Because if not, he's going to come find out the rumor wasn't true. How would I know it? I wouldn't have divorced her. Or she makes the Nedarim, and he says, I can't handle this wife that makes the door. And then he finds out that she can remove them. He didn't know. So we say, we warned him beforehand. You should know, Rabbi Laban, that you can't take her back. The fact is getting. The boy like William Sabasa, this is what Abba Chanan is telling Remeir. You're telling her he's got to get rid of her. You're telling him that he doesn't have to make a tzibah. And he's straight away. I feel bad for the husband. It's costing him a fortune. Tzibah is not cheap. The last estimate I heard about tzibah is in the area of between $25,000 and $30,000. That's what they told me. Yeah, I know, but this happened to Misa. And they evaluate. I mean, I know a case that they figured out the sub and it was $25,000 to $30,000.
It's not cheap. Marriage is a little more worth a little more than that.
Again, the guy's divorcing his wife. He has to give her a sub. What is a sub today? In most cases, there is no fee. What happens is, I don't want to spend too much time on this. What happens is, in most cases, there's no sub. Because what happens is there's child support, and he gives her part of his, they make an agreement, a monetary agreement. So because of that, there's no tshuva. The case I was dealing with, the guy was married, and 3 months later he divorced his wife. And they had no children, and there was no child support, and he had no money, and she had no money, and they were getting divorced. She wasn't getting any share of any monetary agreement. There was nothing to agree on. So now the question became, was there a tshuva? So we were sitting, I was sitting, the other people knew more than me, right? Rabbi Hirschfeld was there, a few other rabbanim were there, and we were talking about what is a tshuva, and somebody came up, I remember who it came, that it's not as that's between $25,000 and $30,000. What? Which he had family that would have to give it to him, but that's his chiyuv. He owes her this much money. What? Nobody has to give it to him, but sooner or later, you have a debt, and the guy can't pay his debt. Does that mean the debt's gone? There. The bottom line is they settled on 15. That was what happened in the story. They said, let's settle on 15. She agreed, he agreed. Whether she ever saw the 15 or not, I have no idea. They're both happily remarried, and or I assume they're happily remarried. They don't let me know, but they're both remarried. Right. The Mekal Kalalei, At Amrit Meshameshes Ve'edim, you, Reb Chanina ben Atigna, said she can have Tashmish using Medika cloths. You know, checking before ain't going to help her. You never know what Tashmish can do. So we don't know exactly what his comment was. Either with Dunger Mayer, you're letting the husband off, I don't agree. The other way, with Dunger Mayer, you know you're taking a big chance. End of story. That's my right, I'm reviewed, I'm in school. I love his Kabchina Benatignus. That look is a Kabchina Benatignus. We pass it that way. We let women stay married without a vest. We pass it that way. Dr. Gemara, what are we talking about?
What do you mean we let?
We don't, according to a mayor, we break the marriage up.
Yeah, but according to the other Mandoma, you
so he's passing like the other Mandoma.
That you can't divorce because of vest?
You can divorce, a person can divorce his wife because he decided one day, he woke up on the wrong side of bed and he said, I'm getting rid of her, I've had enough.
Well, he said not like
we're
married, where he has to divorce her.
Right. Okay. Exactly. We will stop here at Shishkaitis.